Anything combat with Johnny K.
But it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, combatants, to the Anything Combat Show. I'm your host, Johnny K. Today, we've got the head coach of Freestyle MMA, UFC Championship level coach, coach of Volkanovski. Please welcome to the show, Joe Lopez. How are you, Joe?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
No worries, mate. Last time we spoke, we were talking about the Diego Lopez fight, and after that fight took place, what are your thoughts on that performance for Volkanovski's career, seeing that he came off the losses and then he came back to get the belt a second time?
Alex's performance? Yeah, well, Alex, yeah, it was a great performance by Alex. You know, everyone sort of written him off and, you know, said he couldn't do it. And obviously he went out there and proved everyone wrong and put on a great performance and got a good win against Diego, who's a great up-and-coming young fighter.
Do you think we see Diego in the title fights again later, like maybe 2-3 years down the track?
Look, I think his name's been thrown in the mix now, you know, so... you know, there might be a Lopez Volkanovski too, you know. So, yeah, again, there's a lot going on behind the scenes. So I don't know whether it's going to be Murphy or whether it's going to be Lopez. That, again, is up to the UFC and what they offer us.
I personally think that they'll give it to Lerone Murphy just off the fact that he's had such a long streak. I believe it's 9 now. And he's also gotten that highlight KO over Aaron Pico. What were your thoughts about Lerone's performances?
Oh, great performance. You know, he's got great timing, very technical. But, you know, I think, you know, the way Pico was sort of ragdolling him on the ground, and, you know, I think Alex's wrestling is probably a lot, you know, is a lot different to Pico's in... He's more of, you know, he grabs hold of you and grounds and pounds you, not just hangs on, you know. He's got a lot of very good pressure and, ground control.
Do you think we see Aaron beat kind of the top 10 guys in the division? Do you think he'll get back into the rankings after this loss?
I hope so. You know, he's, you know, it's good to have someone different in the mix. You know, someone who's been a former champion somewhere else, and, you know, it's always good to, like I said, somebody different than the usual top 10 guys. But there's a lot of guys, you know, making a lot of moves now. But, you know, at the moment we're just focusing on this next fight when it comes about.
Joe, don't you feel like the timing of the contenders was a little bit strange, seeing that for a very long time he had to rematch Holloway so many times, and then, you know, the only people that he defended against Korean Zombie, Brian Ortega, and now only now, 2025, we're seeing the new guys, as in Movzar, Lerone, and Diego, and Gene Silva, people like that, coming up now. It, like, took a while. It was almost like he was dominating the division too much, and that there wasn't that much growth in the division. Now it seems more stable with more people coming up. Can you tell me a little bit more about the game planning for the Diego fight and these new title fights that you're going to have with Volk? We spoke about it last time you came on the show, but what do you think was the main approach for the Diego Lopez fight, seeing that he's such a hard fighter to deal with?
Again, Volk was playing his game, you know, not Diego's game. We were aware of what Diego was good at, but, you know, Volk neutralized it with his footwork, his fight IQ. I think, you know, also, like, after the first round, you know, Volk just mauled Diego on the ground, and I don't think Diego wanted to go there because he fought tooth and nail not to go back down on that mat, because he knew it wasn't going to end well there for him, you know, after the first round.
It was a war, and there was a moment in that fight where Diego dropped Volkanovski. So what was going through your mind when you saw that part of the fight? Were you worried? Did you think he would recover? What was going through your mind?
Oh, look, I mean, he dropped him, but I don't think it was. Well, with Volk's footwork, because he's so mobile, sometimes when he does get caught, he gets dropped, but it's not a hard drop. It's just a drop because he's off balance more than anything, and that's what I took it back as. Yeah, he reset in the wrong place, and he got caught off balance, and he got dropped. But I wasn't worried there at all. I was more worried, probably in the fourth round. He got hit in the eye, and he couldn't see for that round. And I think it was even the fifth round, his vision was compromised in that eye for the last two rounds. And you could see it wasn't that he wasn't wanting to engage. It's just he was blind, and yeah, it made it hard. Until he got that vision back,
I have an interesting take for you, and I want to get your opinion on it. I believe that out of all the new guys coming up for the title fights, I would reckon that Diego would probably be the most skilled out of all of them. Even though you've got Movsar Evloev looking for a title shot, and he's like 18, 19, and 0 right now, and Lerone is a great competitor too, I still think that out of everybody, the toughest competition that Volk could get out of those new up-and-comers is probably Diego.
Yeah, it's probably because he's a little bit unpredictable, so and he's powerful, so that makes him dangerous. Where the other guys are very skillful and that, but they're technical, so they're easier for Volk to, I'd say, for Volk to get a read on. Where, like I said, Diego just does very unorthodox things. He throws when he shouldn't be throwing, and that. So sometimes it's hard to get a read and get that, as to opposed to someone that is technical, and you know which path it's coming, in a sense.
What do you think about Movsar Evloev, the Russian? He's a really good wrestler. His striking is shown to be quite decent too. How do you think that fight will go when he gets to the title shot?
Well, we were hoping to get him, and he's probably, out of everyone, probably the most deserving. I don't know what's happened behind the scenes between him and the UFC, but his name hasn't been thrown in the works since he pulled that out of that fight. Again, a lot of things happen behind the scenes. We don't know if he's still injured. I don't know, but his name hasn't been brought up. But he was our original opponent that they put towards us, but he had to have that next fight. And yeah, like I said, I don't know what's happened since then. Then Lerone, Murphy, obviously had that spectacular KO, so he earns his shot. And then Diego, I guess, again, John Silver was making a lot of noise and making a lot of hype, and for Diego to put him out like that, again, is a lot of hype. So again, the UFC, it's up to the UFC to decide which one of those we face and, when.
In terms of the wrestling with Movsar, we've seen Volk take on Makachev and do very well in the grappling. Do you feel like he can pose a better threat in terms of freestyle wrestling than Makachev?
Oh, 100%. Volk's improved a lot since the Makachev fight in terms of his grappling. He's always improving, but especially after that, we really focused a lot on it. And then he took back a lot of the things that he could have done better, and he's improved on those things. So it'd be a lot harder to catch him now. A lot of people don't realize how good of a grappler, wrestler Alex actually is. He's really good. You can see that, how he holds his own against some of the best guys in his division, and even at lightweight, where Makachev was ragdolling most people. Where if you look at the fifth round, Alex started ragdolling Makachev, and even when he did have positions, he was just hanging on. He wasn't how could you say, causing any damage or putting Alex in any kind of threat in any of the grappling exchanges through the whole fight, you know. Alex held his own. Like I said, if anything, Islam was hanging on for dear life with that back. He was too scared to do anything because he knew if he moved, Alex was getting out, you know. And so he just hung on, which, you know, it's, you know, you get control time, but, you know, I don't think, I guess it doesn't show off how, which it shows off how difficult Alex is to control on the ground to compare to what Makhachev does to most people on the ground.
How interesting is it, Joe, that Makhachev fights Volkanovski by him moving up in weight, and now Makhachev doing the same thing. He's moving up, going up against Jack Della Maddalena, who you've trained with and has been at the gym. So can you give me a little bit of insight with your work with the scrappy MMA guys when you got to work with them?
Yeah, well, Alex is there at the moment, and I'll be going over, I think, next week. Yeah, it's always good to support the Aussie guys. And, Jack's, he's boxing, obviously, is, you know, world class. But then on top of that, you know, Jack's got this, I think, natural ability to just move the right way. I don't think he knows what he's doing, but he just knows how they need to be here, and he moves out of these positions, sometimes unorthodox, but he gets out, you know, which power to him. And, you know, Craig's over there now, and they'll be tightening everything up. And, yeah, and I think, you know, Jack comes back with a win over Makhachev. Again, he's moving up in a division. Not saying, you know, Islam isn't a big man, because he is a big man, but, you know, Jack's always been that weight, so he's going to be holding it a lot better than Islam is, you know.
How much time did you personally get to work with Jack when he went to freestyle?
Well, he's come here a few times, so he was here a couple of times, a couple of weeks each time. And, yeah, he just, you know, jumped in our training classes and everything else. And, yeah, he's, like I said, he's a good athlete. He's a good team member. I can't say anything bad about Jack, you know. For me, you know, being a good team member and looking after your other team members and working with them to that point where you're not hurting them, but, you know, pushing them to that point is, you know, you've got to have a lot of control and you've got to have a lot of respect for each other to do that, you know. So, yeah, it's always great to have Jack, you know, on the mats with us.
I've been seeing, you know, with the rest of the team at freestyle, a really strong evolution. You know, K-Sib's coming up, Colby is looking good. So can you just tell me about the team's development in the last year or so? How's that been?
Yeah, well, look, they're all still pretty young, you know. You know, I think, like, Colby now has just turned 25, 26, I think. So I think he's starting to – he's always been, I think, a little bit – wouldn't say weak, but, you know, he's got that man strength about him now. He's getting a lot stronger and – yeah, so he's coming along good. And Kasib, you know, he's like a little bantamweight Alex, you know, on the rise. You know, he's got a ton of experience behind him. You know, we've got Amina, you know, she's fighting in 2 weeks, I think, in Abu Dhabi. You know, we've got Justin, just got announced against George Mangos. That should be an interesting one. I know, you know, Justin really wants that one back because I think that fight cost him his chance to get into the UFC, because he was sort of on that cusp of getting on there, and he got that fight and I took it seriously enough, and he came away with a loss and sort of changed his whole career in a sense. But anyway, he's really, really hungry to get that back. And Yeah, actually, it'll be a good fight. See if Justin turns up on the night. Jamie's been with us now, on and off, but he's training full time with us, which is a really good add to the team, And then we've got a bunch of young amateurs that are a couple of guys that are really good. The two Zanes, Zane Martin especially is one to look out for. He's a kid with a lot of potential.
I'll ask you about a performance that K-Sib had. He fought for the Hex title against my teammate Liam Gusty, Matt Masters. Let me know, what did you see out of that performance with K-Sib and that fight with Gusty? What can you tell me about that? What did you like out of K-Sib?
I mean, like I said, he's still young, and I think sometimes he gets preset in his moves and doesn't use his fight IQ to change ways of, finding the holes or finding the openings. But that will come. When you think of his experience. And to Volk, I think, Volk just started and, Sib's already the Hex champion, so he's got a long way to go. He's tough as nails, I think you can hit him in the head with a brick and he'll still take a step forward, He's not chinny at all. His wrestling's really good and grappling. So, like I said, he's going to be one to look out for in the future, especially being so young,
Joe, I read that you said to keep the fighters relaxed and kind of calm before the fight in the back to avoid adrenaline spikes within the fight. Is that true?
I mean, it's something that we've always sort of done, you know what I mean? We're very relaxed, there's a lot of banter goes on, there's nothing, we'll listen to music, there's nothing ever too, we're not sitting there going, yeah, we're going out there to kill him and all this sort of stuff. So it's very, very, I think it just goes through the stages of it all. So the more relaxed you are there, when you're starting to warm up, you're gonna obviously you're gonna have to feel those butterflies and be hypersensitive. If you don't feel that, I think there's you're in for a hard night, if you think you're that good. And your hands get wrapped, you start to get into your zone a bit more with your warm up. You start thinking about it, and then you walk out, and that's there. But like I said, I've seen people do some crazy things behind backstage, trying to pump themselves up. And look, I mean, you get Trent Gurdon; he'll sit at the back and scream. It does my head in. He's another fighter on the team now. We've got Gaze there. Yeah, so we've got a few. God, I forgot a lot of the people on the team. There's a lot of guys there at the moment. So, and we're moving to the newer place, so it'll probably be more names for me to forget.
Joe, tell me, where do you want to move? You want to move outside of the church and move into a new church or something?
No, I've bought a new gym, and we're in the process of moving. So, we're out of the church, and we've bought the Portuguese club, so we've taken over the Portuguese. Sorry, Portugal, but we bought your club, and we're keeping some of the features upstairs. There was a disco ball and all the lighting, so we're keeping all that. So we might have Saturday night jiu-jitsu nights or something, so you can get your groove on with a disco ball and some good jive. And but this place is, it's massive compared to the old place. I'm gonna miss the old place, but we do have to move. The place is just a bit too small. So for the team's sake and everything else, I took the plunge, and we got a new place. And we'll have everything there. We'll have all the strength and conditioning downstairs, all the matted area upstairs, and bags. And then the stage two will have the recovery with with the ice baths and the saunas and the plunge pools and all that sort of stuff.
I've got a question about the cross training. I know that you work with a lot of different teams and stuff. Why do you do that so much? And why do you find that so beneficial? I know that you guys at one point, Volk was in Tiger. You guys have been working with the Hickman guys via City Kickboxing as well. You guys have a kind of like a large network of different gyms that you work with. So, why have you chosen that for the team?
Well, at the beginning, it was mainly sparring partners. We just didn't have, like people at Volk's level for, to push Volk and get, Volk up there. That was more the reason than anything. Once we started to develop the team down here, you see, we don't travel as much. A lot of the times, it's, we still got, like a great relationship with the guys at City Kickboxing. They come here, we go there. They're like our, like our brothers. We're always there for each other. And then, as far as going to Thailand and Bang Tao, Alex and I both, got shares in that gym, so we're owners. So just makes sense to go over there and support the team over there, which, and again, we've, over the years, we've all become very good friends, and we all get along very well. So yeah, we've got a unique relationship that, yeah, we all get along. We're all different teams, but we really support each of us. Even if we have to fight against each other, we shake hands at the end. There's no ill feeling. We try to help each other as best we can. So if we're not fighting each other, we're supporting each other, and making our teams get better.
What do you think you want to achieve as a coach looking forward into the future? What is on your mind that you wish to achieve?
Well, look, I'm, it's pretty hard to top, Volk, not winning, one but two titles, so that's pretty hard to beat. But for me at the moment, it's watching the next generation coming up and watching them progress. That's what I'm looking forward to, and I've always sort of liked that aspect of it, watching, is could this guy be the next Volk? It's hard to come by, but it's still there. Volk was just a concreter that, stepped into the gym one day and had a dream, and he fulfilled it. So it could still be done.
I read that you like with your fighters being the underdog because it motivates you. So I want to know, why do you feel like the Australian MMA scene has been underestimated, seeing that now on the global stage we're doing so well?
Look, I think that just happened there for a while, but it's—I mean, I always, we go in there with a positive mindset that we are going to win, and them thinking that they're better than us just sort of, to me, it just gives them a false sense of security because they don't know what they're actually going to get, But the fighting game, comes with, really highs and some really bad lows, because, one punch or one kick can take everything away, so as we found out. But that's the fight game.
How are the Wollongong wars going for you?
Good. I always get a massive interest in it, which is good. Personally, I don't like doing them, but it really builds the gym spirit because everybody looks forward to fighting in front of, their friends and family. So I can't take it away from them. I'll put myself with, a few days of stress just to do it, Well, it's not so much the event is sort of stressful in the, you don't want anything to go wrong or anything, but the worst part is the matchmaking, you know, the people pulling out at the last minute. But I've been sort of pretty fortunate the last three or four shows that we've just had too many people. And if, you know, like one show there, we had like 24 fights. And I thought they were going to start dropping off, but they didn't. And that stressed me out the most, you know, because you don't want the night to drag on. And then, you know, coming from the industry that I do, you know, the longer that it goes, the more chances of trouble and shit. I don't want anything like that at my events. I just want, you know, a good show, good fights, and everyone go home. And if they want to have trouble, they do it somewhere else, but not in my place, you know.
Joe, why do you think that you and the team with Colby took the short notice fight against Alessandro Topuria? Why did that take place?
Well, it was a great opportunity to get into the UFC, you know. For that, I've got to thank those guys, you know. They reached out and they did Colby a solid, you know. He didn't have to do a contenders or anything else. So, that was nice of them to do that anyway. So, would have been nicer to win, but it was good that they chose Colby to come in and step in for Cody. So that was good.
Joe, how hard is it to take a fighter and the whole camp and go overseas or somewhere treacherous, dangerous like Perth, or going to different places like in Australia and taking the whole camp? How does that affect the energy for the before the fight?
I like to travel personally. I do a lot of it if I, and it's good to fight at home for some reasons, but for me, especially as the fights get bigger, sometimes overseas is for me as a coach, there's less distractions for the whole team, because not that many people, you know, make the pilgrimage to come over to watch the fights, and Vegas is a big place, and we normally get a place, like a big place to stay at, so the team's together, because it's just so hard for Bulk to be in the fighters' hotels, you know, only because he just gets mobbed. And like a simple go get a coffee takes an hour and a half because everybody wants to stop and get a photo, and it might seem trivial, but every time you go out, it takes an hour. It's just, it becomes unbearable, for poor Walt, and the team is too. So, for me, for that, for the distractions, like I said, I like going overseas. And again, it gives you that underdog feeling too. The Americans and people who come overseas to fight always go, "Oh, we had to fly all these hours to get here." We go, "Mate, we have to do this every time, you know." So it's no big deal, you know. Again, for us, we acclimatize so easy. I know other people take, got to go over for a couple of weeks. First time we went, we did 2 weeks. But then we realized the first week we were there, we were on point, and then we would just go over for, the week before, and we've sort of stuck to that sort of plan. If we're fighting in Vegas, if we're fighting over on the East Coast, then we might take a few more days just because of the time differences to get used to that. Like in Miami, we'll fly over a few more days just to get adjusted.
Can you tell me a little bit about the direction that Australian MMA is going in? Because right now, with the fighters that I've seen a really strong investment in grappling, where we're not really known for our grappling sports, yet we're able in MMA to be so competitive against nations where grappling is more prevalent. So, can you tell me a little bit more about what direction you think Australian MMA is heading in?
Well, look, I think it's heading in the right direction. I don't think it's just heading in the wrestling sense. I think, why Australians are doing so well is because they're actually mixed martial artists. I think what they were lacking was that wrestling. They had the ground game down, but now, most of these guys, they do a lot of wrestling in their training, and it's not just your normal wrestling. It's wrestling for MMA, and they're holding their own, and they're holding their own, I think, in striking. So I think Australians are just good, mixed martial artists. They're putting it all together, which is great to see.
My final question I have for you today, Joe, is about Port Kembla and Barrack Heights. Can you tell me a little bit more about this? What was your experience in these places?
Well, Kembla, well, that's where the new gym's headed. That's where I grew up. Beautiful beach down there. We're only about 200 or 300 meters from beautiful Port Kembla Beach. And Barrack Heights is, we moved to Barrack Heights when I was about 14, 15. We moved out that way.
Do you have fond memories of these places?
Of course I do, yeah. They're good places. I mean, Barrack Heights is a little bit further away from the ocean than Port, but, growing up when I was there, how could I say? I just came back from my mum's place just then, actually, and my mum's house, it was one street, and then there was all empty paddocks, and now there's a big shopping centre, and there's hundreds of houses, and it's just all changed to when I grew up there. But, again, it's still close to the beach. It's like, a K and a half to the beach, So anywhere around here is good if you like the ocean, which I did growing up, and so, yeah, it's nice. But now, like I said, Port Beach is probably one of the best beaches in Australia. It's a beautiful beach.
That's all we have time for, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Joe, for your time. Is there any final remarks you want to say to everybody at home as we wrap up the podcast today?
No, just if you're out there training, keep training. If not, think about training. If you haven't got a place, my place is available to train in.
Become a combatant.